Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talk about all the things we used to do. The laughs, the passions, the little Sebastians, the pets we fell into. And we're putting it all in a podcast. Then we'll send it up into the sky. We're calling it Pox Hit Recollection. Come on, little podcast, spread your wings and fly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Parks and Recollection. I am the, well, as some have said, shockingly good-looking co-host, Jim O'Hare. That's what they've
said.
Who
has said that?
Well, my mother, well, she's been gone a while, but I've read some things online.
Yeah, because you've been asking me to do it, but you haven't paid me for that.
I have not paid you, but would it be that tough to say, Jim, damn, you are just so good-looking, it's hard to sit across from you, or?
That's pretty tough.
Okay. Anyway, yes, I am Jim O'Hare, better known as Jerry, Larry, Gary, Terry, or Barry. Five names, crazy, from Parks and Rec, with...
And I'm Greg, better known... I guess I'm Greg.
You're just Greg.
I'm just Greg.
That's it.
It's kind of boring compared to you.
Well, in many ways.
Let's tell people listening who's here with us, because this is very exciting, because we're boring compared to who's us today in this studio.
We are.
Jim, we are joined by a very special guest today. She's an actress, a writer, a director. In 2021... You know, the year.
The year.
While we were all sitting on the couch, she directed two feature films, Language Lessons and Plan B. She has been in everything from Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse to Santa Clarita Diet to BoJack Horseman, The Morning Show, The New History of the World Part 2, which I am supremely jealous of. I pretty much want to do an entire episode about that.
That's huge.
Parks fans know her and love her as Lucy Santo Domingo, Pawnee's favorite bartender, graduate student, and eventual manager of Tom's Bistro. But we know her as Natalie Morales, and she's sitting right across the table from us. Hello, yeah. Natalie.
Hello. Natalie.
Truly, we are like so excited when the word got out you were going to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited.
A lot of rumblings.
Yay. And I know you, by the way, as Jim, the super good looking guy sitting across from me. So.
Finally.
But you've been paying
me.
He has been paying me since 2007. Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious. I don't know why.
Pulling teeth. It's one of those things. We are talking not just about Jim's looks, but we're talking about the episode End of the World, written by Mike Schur.
It's one of my favorite episodes of the series, I think. Yeah.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Directed by Dean Holland.
Dean Holland.
That's his ringtone.
No, I love Dean. I love Dean.
It originally aired on November 3rd, 2011. And Jim, can you blurb us, tell us a little bit about what this episode's about?
Natalie, I do the blurbs. Get ready.
Great.
I put a lot into this.
God, does that mean that was already 12 years ago? That's
insane. Hold on, let me just see if I can get
Is that terrifying?
Out. That's awful.
This whole thing is...
Yeah, my math checks out.
It's very sad. A blurb. A cult called The Reasonableists predicts that the end of the world will happen the next day at dawn. Tom throws a party to close down Entertainment 720, an end of the world party. And Andy and April decide to complete as much of Andy's bucket list as they can. And Leslie gets jealous when another woman is interested in her Ben.
Shauna Mulway Tweep.
You know this
Shauna
is a...
Shauna Mulway Tweep.
Tweep. She's back.
Another Mike Schur thing is just the names. The names are always so good.
Yes.
Many fans feel this is the perfect episode. It's easily one of the most loved in the entire series.
I've heard that many times.
Yes. Me too.
Definitely. There's so much going on. Every character gets a nice little hug.
Yeah. It's a surprise appearance for me, I think. It's a real reveal.
It is a reveal.
It's a Natmo reveal.
And actually, I'm going to tell you guys something. I wrote this down. as I get older, I do find that I'm getting more sentimental in life. Just, I don't know, I am. And there were two moments in this show, and I won't say them now as we get to them, that got me a little like, oh, a little emotional. Yeah.
I know one of them. I bet I know one of them.
Oh, cool.
Yes, because I think it makes everybody emotional.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm anxious to see if you have what I have here.
We should do some Nopes Notes, which is our very clever way of saying some fun facts.
Great.
Fun fact, Nopes Note, the actor who plays Herb Schaefer, the leader of the Reasonableists, is Robert Pine, Chris Pine's real-life dad.
Mm.
Robert Pine also plays Jim Halpert's dad on The Office.
Wow.
Yep.
And he also has a fashion style blog called Looking Pine. That's not true.
I must look that up the second I get on this show and get us a computer.
Right,
we should give him that idea, though. Yeah, I know.
It's
great.
It's a problem because he needs to do that. another fun thing, I think it's funny. We act like the term bucket list has been around forever, but in fact, that's not the
case. It's from the movie.
It's from a movie, the bucket list. There was a Wall Street Journal column in May 2015 where the vocabulary.com editor Ben Zimmer and word researcher Hugo Van, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it looks like it's lemonade but with a K, so I'm going to go with Kemenade. my apologies to you, sir, word researcher.
Kemenade.
It determined that originated with the movie. So we have showbiz in Hollywood to thank for that. What's great is that we have actually a lot to talk
about.
Yes,
we do. This is a big show.
In this episode, we're going to jump into our synopsis. We like nope puns.
Oh, okay. Synopsis. I was like, is that?
This was actually submitted by a listener, synopsis.
Synopsis. Great.
So let's start the episode.
Yes.
The Reasonableists, a Pawnee doomsday cult that worships a giant lizard god known as Zorp the Surveyor, predicts the world is going to end. Herb Schaefer, the cult's current leader, played by Papa Bear Pine, will host an all-night vigil in a park, and Chris offers that he and Ben will join Leslie in monitoring them. Meanwhile, Tom and John Ralphio's company, Entertainment 720, officially goes under, so they throw one final epic party since their lease isn't up until the next day. Also, April and Andy decide to do something weird and check items off of Andy's bucket list. That one at the end, that line about Andy and April's bucket list, it feels tacked on, but it makes sense, right? Because this idea of like, it's the end of the world.
The end of the world.
What would you do if your time was limited? And he's like, I got these things I want to do. It's my bucket list. So let's do some of the bucket
list. And the fact that Andy would have a bucket list, that he would ever put thought into writing it down, pretty crazy.
Well, it's on like six different kinds of crumpled sheets of paper. Yeah, fantastic.
It's a work in progress.
It's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about it, so let's talk about it. The list, Andy's bucket list, I wrote it down. Catch the winning touchdown at the Super Bowl. Make the most amazing grilled cheese sandwich ever. Win the lottery. Ride a unicycle. Invent something. Remake the Shaquille O'Neal movie Kazam and get it right. Go skydiving. Outrun a hippo. Fly first class on a plane. And when people are walking by, be all smug. Change a cell phone plan, which, by the way, I need to do. Hold $1,000 cash in his hands. Teach his son to throw the perfect spiral. And of course, have a son. Exactly. Have a son.
On a side note, go to, when this episode's over, not now, go to YouTube and check out the bloopers. Because Pratt, during his reading of this list, does a fart blooper that is so disgusting and so funny.
He killed me.
He literally says, I have pooped myself on television. Like, there's this this incredible 10-second flatulence. And then he mentions, I've just pooped myself on television.
Yeah.
I wondered when I refreshed myself by watching it this morning, and I wondered if he always had the best ad-libs that he would throw in there. And I wondered if the last line of the show was an ad-lib, because it seemed like a very Chris Pratt ad-lib.
The faces of the Grand Canyon. I think it's not an ad-lib.
I mean, it's great. It's just great. So written for him. Yes. If not, you know.
I have to say, it's one of my favorite moments in the series.
Me too.
It's one of the funniest moments, because it's not just Pratt's line, where all the faces looking at the Grand Canyon. It's April's.
Yeah.
It's Aubrey's look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, wait, what? Did you honestly not know where we were going?
Yeah.
Also, look at it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Idea that, like, he didn't mean this. He meant Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. This whole time we could have driven the
different direction.
They've
just driven 30 hours.
Yeah.
And he is blown away.
Yeah.
But it is not
the faces.
What was on the bucket list. So brilliant.
So
while we start also with Leslie, you know, we have this end of the world thing going on, and life is good. You know, Leslie loves good press. And Sean Amalway Tweep was there. Sean is asking Ben some questions, and Leslie ain't having it.
Yeah.
She's not having it.
She's
tough. Refresh my memory what happened. She was running for city council, so she was like, I can't be dating one of my coworkers in order to do this, so they separate.
Right.
It's a won't they part of the season.
Right. We're in the will they? It doesn't seem like they will.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like. And also, Chris Traeger has a rule, right, about dating in the office.
Dating in the office.
And
yeah, can't do it.
Especially from a manager, someone that you manage.
Subordinate.
And an insubordinate kind of a thing. So, yeah, they're not together. What's amazing about Shauna being here is that not only is she back, but she's back to flirt with not only another city employee.
Yeah, Shauna gets around.
Shauna gets around.
But it's a city employee.
Which, by the way, played by Allison Becker, who we love Allison.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a city employee that Leslie has an interest in. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. She has a very, very specific type.
Only Leslie's.
Leslie's city employee crushes.
Yes.
What's going on, Shauna?
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Zorp.
Okay.
Hail Zorp, first of all, of course, yes. So this freaky cult used to run Pawnee, and now these are these dwindling numbers, and they only exist every few years when they think that Zorp is going to destroy the Earth. And I love this fact. This is a Mike Schur classic, that the founder of the cult is a guy, another great name, Lou Przodowicz. Mm-hmm. So Lou Przodowicz was an office supply salesman, and he wrote a book, Organize It, which was a big success. And then he wrote Organize It to Engage with Zorp, and a cult was born. It is interesting when you think about it.
It's familiar.
Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about. It's a little familiar.
It's familiar. Yeah.
We are a country easily absorbed into cults.
Also a city. Yeah.
Directly across the street from, a children's hospital. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love when he comes in to tell Leslie that it's, she knows. She sees him. She knows what's going on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He says to her, the world is going to end tomorrow at dawn. And Leslie... Ah, oh, nuts.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy. I mean, she's just,
You
don't say.
Yeah. And then at the end of the episode, when he's like, it's actually going to end 6 months from now on this day. And she's like, can't do it that day. And he's like, what about the day after?
Wait, I think let me just carry the two. I carry the two wrong. It is tomorrow. Yeah.
There's some ice cream something happening the day before. Maybe I can stick around for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this opening of this show has so much, because not only do we introduce an entire cult and the whole premise of the end of the world, Tom has his company, and your character Lucy knows Tom well.
Mm-hmm.
Former flame, romantic duo.
Yes.
Tom is pitching that he and John Ralphio throw one last party with everything they have left in the company, right?
Because at the end, at the top of the episode, they are cleaning out.
They've gone bankrupt. They've run it into the ground.
Yeah.
But we did learn a couple of things.
Yeah.
One thing that I asked in a previous episode, because I'm very inquisitive. This is almost like 60 Minutes, Natalie, just so you know.
Okay.
Where was all this money coming from? Well, apparently they had $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's not a lot of money, but not for the money they were spending.
No. And also, speaking of that, I think Mike Schur's a great writer, as we've established. And I didn't notice this at the time, but at the beginning of this episode, they're like, we have $5,000 each. We have $10,000. Let's throw the party of a lifetime. And then the party that they throw is considerably more expensive than
$10,000.
So I don't know if it was just 2011 money is so different than today that I don't even remember that, or that Pawnee, Indiana is so incredibly cheap to live that you can get a tiger for a party for like $3.
I thought about the exact same thing.
Yes.
There's a shrimp wall.
Yes.
Right? And I'm thinking,
NBA player
is still being paid. Roy Hibbert or Detlef Schrempf, whichever one, is still being paid on retainer.
Yeah.
Even a shrimp wall, the shellfish must be more expensive in Indiana if this were on the coast.
Right.
What a specific.
It's landlocked.
Totally landlocked.
Is this a $10,000 party? And how do they do it? And who's the party planner? Because we need these tips.
Yeah.
At the very end, they're valeting. If you've had too much to drink, take one of the, we'll get you home and then we'll valet your car back to your house.
Yes. Yes.
That alone is $10,000.
Yes. Usually Mike has logic as his strong suit. And then this episode, very conspicuous.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Jim, question for you. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained? Are you bursting with energy? How are you doing?
My battery, Greg, thank you for asking, is pretty full. It's because I have learned over the years, sometimes you got to get help. And I am not afraid to do that.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. So it's important to figure out what the right amount of socializing for you is and the best way to recharge. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Yeah, so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It can be a lifesaver. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, because, you know, sometimes the first match isn't always the best match.
So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/parks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/parks. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Plus, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, which is awesome, and more than 60 add-ons every week.
The last Factor meal I had was a pork chop. Oh, here's the thing about pork chops. I want it tender. I want it juicy. And that is what Factor gave me. Honest to God, it was amazing. And all I had to do was peel off the top and pop it in the oven a couple of minutes. And the smell hits you before you ever taste it. It fills the entire kitchen. And then you peel and you eat. And it is so good.
Head to factormeals.com/parksandrex50 and use code parksandrex50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's code parksandrex50 at factormeals.com/parksandrex50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I want to talk about something that Leslie is excited to be forced to hang out with Ben the night of the end of the world, right? So at this point, she wants to be with him. I think they want to be with each other. But every time they attempt to have some kind of a friendship outside, it's harder and harder. So she's excited. She gets to be with Ben at the end of the world night. And Ben says he's probably going to duck out early since it's weird still between them. Jim talked about a newspaper reporter, Shauna Mulway, Tweep interviews Leslie, Chris, and Ben about the vigil. And Shauna shows a romantic interest in Ben. She has a type. Leslie panics and tries to dissuade Shauna. I can do it, guys. I can say that. Leslie
it's
panics.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Shauna, I know it's tough.
Dissuade Shauna. Yeah.
Dissuade Shauna.
You got it.
Great. Sounds like an 80s band.
It's a great name.
Leslie panics and tries.
I call it for copyright.
Okay.
Okay.
That's weird.
In case he wants to start a
Just
band.
Just in case.
What the hell's going on
here? I might use it for whatever. It's mine.
Leslie panics and tries to dissuade Shauna from asking him out, but then Anne and Leslie witness Shauna flirt with Ben and ask him to join her at Entertainment 720's party, which is in full swing at the time. Ron and Herb help Chris learn more about the reasonableness' interesting beliefs. Okay, tiny moment worth mentioning. Let's jump into the party at Entertainment 720. As Tom is walking through, showing all the things that they've set up, he passes by Jean Ralphio dry humping a couch in the makeout room.
Yes, I loved that.
It made me laugh so much.
So hard.
Yeah.
It's little things like that that you forget when you remember the story, but you forget these little moments that are thrown in.
Is that a Jean Ralphio improv bit, or was that scripted?
I read the script. I don't think that's in the script. And that really feels like it's just Ben Schwartz knows this character
going for
at this point.
Yeah.
And being like, what am I going to be doing here?
I just realized what a missed opportunity to not have Detlef Shrimp be the shrimp wall
God
guy.
God damn it. Let's reshoot.
Maybe they just couldn't get him. Yeah, we should reshoot him.
I wonder if he's like, I don't want to do it. That's a joke on my name and I already have a weird
name.
Maybe
he just had better things to do.
Yeah.
I also really love this running gag that the reasonableists have of when they keep buying things from Ron and they keep saying like, will you take a check? I mean this in the best way. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like this, they are so aware of the fact that they're oddly weird and crazy, but for them, they're the normal people. Like, will you take a check? Because tomorrow, you know, your whole capitalist society doesn't matter because the end of the world will have happened.
I love that Ron's only there to make some money and play a little flute.
Yeah.
Like beautifully.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is funny. There's never any talk of him flute playing in the future, right?
No.
That's one and done.
I think it's a one and
done. You just assume Ron can do anything.
Anything and everything. Yeah.
And I like that he plays Symphony for the Righteous Destruction of Humanity in E minor by Lou Prezzotto.
Yeah.
Lou was busy after he wrote Organize It. He's like, I have come up with an idea for religion. I'm writing a book.
I wonder who wrote that actual piece of music. I wonder where that comes
from. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Was this like, was it open?
Was it Gabby Moreno? That'd be great.
I have no idea.
Gabby Moreno wrote the theme song for Parks and Rec. I just know that because I know her.
Do you really?
Really?
She scored my movie Language Lessons.
Oh, she's amazing.
And I met her at a Parks and Rec rap party.
I was going to say, she played the rap party.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Look at that.
Look at this. Parks and Rec connection. Parks and Rec connection.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Parks and Rec connection.
I'm really, really, really sorry for that.
When I watched that episode of The Last of Us, I just imagined that that was Ron Swanson. Like, because it was like, it is just like, he's just like
Nick,
he played like this like survivalist dude. And I was like, that's just some alt version of Ron Swanson.
Which I don't know if it's so worth getting into all that, but God bless you, Nick Offerman. You nailed The Last of Us.
Oh yeah. He's incredible. He's incredible in everything.
I know.
But it's just like, that character was a survivalist, like do it all guy that knew how to do everything. And I was like, oh, this is just like Ron Swanson 2.0.
Show's great.
That's
great
in it.
Check that out if you can.
Okay. Let's keep going with our synopsis, because there's so much story left.
So much.
Leslie is still desperate to keep Ben close by and away from Shauna. So she makes him join her in seeing an interesting Pawnee sight, as she says. In reality, she just drives in circles and ends up at an abandoned gas station. Ben sees through Leslie's plan and doesn't appreciate her attempts to interfere with his life, reminding her that she was the one who decided they needed to break up.
Tough stuff.
Poor Leslie. She really likes this guy.
Yeah.
You can tell chemistry between two actors, two characters, when they're not together, right? It's not just like the lovey-dovey stuff. It's the fact that I can see how much you have this bond, that you want to be with this person, but you can't. And I think that she plays that longing very, very well.
I also like Adam as playing Ben, just is so good at calling her on her BS, you know, just like staring at her and be like, I know what you're doing. Can you stop? You know, because there's only so long you can drag it out where it's so clear that she's doing that. And I mean, that's also Mike Schur's writing, but I just liked that scene. It felt very honest of her being like, okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I am doing this. It's very sad. Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's what a big decision. Love, career. I mean, people, I guess, make those decisions all the time.
Right.
And damn Chris for not allowing her to have both.
I know. Speaking of Chris, speed reads two reasonableist books, and then he engages Herb in a reincarnation discussion, which is amazing. I love how Herb states that reincarnation involves becoming a fleshless, chattering skeleton after Zorp burns your flesh off with his volcano mouth. And then there's this great pained look that Rob Lowe gives. Do you remember?
I didn't
this?
Like that part.
He was loving it up till then.
I didn't like that part.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so funny.
Because you know, for someone like Chris who thinks he's going to live forever, because remember, there's an episode where he says he heard scientists you can live to be 120 something. He goes, I'm that person. Like, he really believes he can do this.
He doesn't want to let the death enter his brain.
No, no talk of that.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He's terrified. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this where there's the Cold War action film scene with you, Jerry, and April?
Is it where we jump in? Because it's on the bucket list.
That was the stunt that I was talking about.
Yeah, it was the stunt. Jim, tell us more about that moment.
That was fun. Here's how sad my brain is, though. I can't remember. I don't think Pratt did that fall, but I was right there. Like, I was literally right there. And for some reason, I think it was a stunt guy for the actual jump through the window.
He was wearing a helmet, so it would have been easy to be a stunt guy.
Super easy to cover.
Though it does seem like Pratt would have been like, please let me do that.
I'm saying is I would have been like that.
Like a candy glass, you know.
Total candy glass. It shattered everywhere. Yeah. There were no shards.
Yeah. You did your stunt, right?
And then I did my stunt, which pretty much was...
Was it a stunt double or was it you?
Oh, it was me, baby.
Oh, great. It was so good.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was me. All I had to do, I flew backward.
It was a really good fall. Listen, I'm telling you, falling is one of the hardest things to do naturally.
Thank you.
It's very good.
Well, you should follow me all day long. I do it all day. Yeah, I'm like a king. No, I love stuff like that. And again, and you know how protected that padding was, super padded.
And it was part of the show that there was padding.
Was
and you had like a head padding as well. Yeah.
Everything was padded.
Yes.
Yeah. I couldn't have got hurt if I tried.
Right. It's not like we had to hide something under it.
Yeah.
You had like a mattress around you, kind of
basically,
padded.
Basically, yeah. But I love it was super fun. Yeah, really fun. But that was such a great, I just, one of my moments, and I guess I can say it now, because remember I warned you guys there were two moments. The one is still coming up. But one of them was when they're on their trip, Andy decides he's going to take a 12-hour
nap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While she's driving the car, and he just puts his head back, and they just cut into April, and she looks at him with a love that, I'm sorry, it just hit me.
Aww,
it hit me,
sweet.
it hit me. And because I'm the guy
who
physically cried as an actor at the wedding of those two people. Because it was so like, yes.
Yeah.
You would normally tell people like this, don't get married. What are you doing? You're not. No, you two. Yes. Get married. You're both off your rockers in a wonderful way. And this works. And I remember when Aubrey, April, whatever, was walking down, I was like, wow, this one's getting me. Anyway, so her look to him just got me. Just totally
That's
got me.
Sweet. You're also a very close cast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are very bonded.
Yes. Still, we have this Parks family text thing, we call it. We're constantly texting back and forth. And
Yeah,
so it really was.
So there's some, it's hard to also, there's some like, you know, some familialness, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. About seeing like this person that you also like, and then they're doing this great thing, and the chemistry and these characters are so good together, and it's really special.
I agree.
Very sweet.
I agree. But anyway, that's one of the two. Now you're on the edge of your seats. What's the second one? What got him worked up? And is it what Natalie thinks it is?
Oh, maybe. That's right.
We'll see.
That's right.
Maybe we'll see.
Let's keep going with this.
Okay, let's go.
April and Andy have completed Andy's bucket list, except for one thing. And that requires them to steal April's father's car and drive 30 hours visiting the Grand Canyon. Tom feels something is missing at his party, despite how much fun the guests are having. And later is pleasantly surprised to see his ex-girlfriend Lucy, our friend Natalie Morales, show up.
Who John Ruffio invited for himself.
That's right. That's right. John Ruffio invited her, though he actually wanted to hook up with her.
Yes.
Leslie admits to Ron that if the world was going to end, she would want to be with Ben. Ron reminds her that she has to accept that she chose her political career over Ben. So we're here. Lucy is here. Lucy's in our episode.
Yay.
Tom perks right up when he sees her. I will say, just for me, I always loved Lucy and Tom together.
Thanks. Me too.
You know, I like that Lucy got Tom, but also called Tom out on his shit, kind of kept him on his toes. I also thought that, I don't know, I think that he made Lucy's character interesting, and like, I think she liked to be surprised by all the fun that he would bring. How was it, the two, like when you guys, when those two characters got together, how were those scenes for you?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that I was a huge fan of the show before I was on it. And so when I got the audition for it, I was like, oh my, how do I get this job? And then I was like, what woman in her right mind would like this man?
Go on.
And so then I was like, I have to find who this might be. Because like, what on earth?
And when you were auditioning, did you know it was recurring, or did you think it was a one and done? Or
I knew it was, I think, at least two episodes, right? or three, something like that. I didn't know if it would be brought back for more. And listeners of this podcast, we're not going to tell you if it's more.
That's
than
right. That's right.
Stay tuned.
Some of you don't know what's coming, and we're not going to tell you.
Yeah. And so what I did, little known fact, what I did when I auditioned is I did all my lines in an Aziz impression, because I thought the only person who would like him is someone who's exactly like
That's
him.
That's so funny.
And so I was like, hello, hey. Oh my God. You know, I literally did all my lines like
really?
That. Yes. And then I got the job and they were like, you were so great. Don't do that.
That instinct you had?
That instinct you had got you the job, but do not do that.
Wow.
And so then I basically had the same attitude, but without the full impression of him. And I was like, I think this is just somebody who likes the ambition and the surprise and the like. This is a small town and there's not anybody like Tom in this town, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that like that was what was connecting for them too, and what kind of kept bringing them back together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really, I mean, it was, it's honestly like, it, like I said, it was my favorite show before I was on it. And I, it was a dream of a lifetime to be on it. And like,
oh, I love
it's still,
that.
It still is. It's like, I walked down the street and people are like, Lucy! and I love it so much. And I just really, it makes me so, it, it's like one of the proudest moments of my life and of my career.
Yeah. Is that?
It really, well, it
Jim,
truly is.
Jim
yeah.
walks down the street. No one pays any attention.
Call the cops. Call the cops.
I'm Jerry, Gary, always, Terry, Larry.
Yeah,
he
I've
says.
Always wondered if people were a little mean to you in the spirit of Jerry or Gary. Oh.
I will say it's just the opposite.
Really? Oh.
It's almost, if they only knew me. I mean, like, they're so nice. To me,
if they and, only
and,
knew,
no,
me.
They only knew like because they think I'm Jerry, and they're pretty generally pretty kind to me, I will say, But I love that you
love
the show. Mm-hmm. I've been on shows where you're guesting, for example, and you're kind of the outsider, you're guesting, and no one gives you a hello, goodbye, good morning. It, like at Parks, if you hadn't been on that, if we hadn't met you yet, everyone's gonna come up to you,
everyone greet was you. So sweet.
It was just that. And not that anyone told us to do it. It was just called kindness. Mm-hmm. And Amy set a tone that was love and laughter.
Yeah.
Like during, and Mike set a tone with, you know, totally at the top of the rung with writers and everything. So yeah, I love when people say that because
it was truly amazing. And I felt as a guest star also, you sometimes don't get to, like, people just want you to do one thing and they don't let you play or do anything different. Or so, and Mike's very open to and respectful of artists and people doing their stuff. So I felt very empowered on that show. And also, we haven't, we talked about him at the beginning of this, but Dean Holland, who directed this episode, who was a longtime editor on Parks and who is a brilliant director, is so great. He's such a great director and he's such a great person, and we became friends doing this show, and like I just remember like when I was watching this episode this morning, I was thinking about Dean doing this episode, and it was just he's the best. It was just such a wonderful experience, and also like, you know, I think most shows, especially shows that go on this long, have an intimate relationship with their crew and their cameramen. And this show, I think everyone was so happy to be on it that it was like a little even deeper than that. And especially with the whole camera team, which was like almost part of the show because it's this like, you know, documentary style thing where people are just like in there with you and trying and working with the actors specifically to get looks and reactions and things like that. So it... I still see people from the crew around. And like you said, it's been 12 years and I'm so like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah. Like, it's very exciting. And that's not something you often get as a guest star on something.
Well, should I tear up on that? I
guess. Yeah, sure, is that your third one? You're going to add one now?
I just might. But I do have it written down. When Lucy comes in?
Yeah, of course. We've been on it.
And Tom sees you.
Mm-hmm.
One of my emotional moments.
Really?
Oh, really? Oh.
So I did not remember the Jean Ralphio.
That line.
So I was taking it as this beautiful moment. You're coming in. He's seeing you and the look and like, wow. And then, of course, he blew up my moment.
Yeah,
because I really
course.
Was getting like, oh, this is so sweet. This
well, that's
is
the
so
Mike
Schur
thing, right? Is like, is build you up and then be like, yeah, I'm gonna do a little fart noise here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they got me because I was in 100%. Like, this is a great moment. And it still was a great moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when he said,
so is that one of your other moments?
That was my. Those are my two moments.
Oh, that wasn't what I thought you were.
Oh,
say.
Really? Oh, wow. Which one?
Have we gotten to what you thought it was?
No. But I can say it when we do.
Please.
Oh yeah, I want to know.
I love doing that. I think we actually, if I'm remembering correctly, I think we actually did shoot all night in that warehouse space. I think it was an overnight shoot. And I think what happens at the end of the party at dawn was actually at dawn. Yeah. Oh. And I hadn't been on the show in a while. So it was really exciting to get that call that I was like coming back to this. Yeah. So it was very cute. Yeah.
I think the other thing about Dean directing was he knew us all so well. And because he was a director, their brains are different. Mm-hmm. They don't, when they're shooting.
Oh, you mean an editor? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was an editor.
Yes.
He did The Office, then he did us, and then he turned out to be a director. But their brains are different. They're doing things in their head, and they're saving all sorts of time because they don't need, he knows what, we're not going to use that. But also Dean,
Who would go on to direct, I think, about 25 episodes of the series.
Oh, yes, yeah. And every single, like, the blooper reels that happened at the end, at the rap parties.
Yes, yes,
Oh, did he piece them together?
All of them,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And they're like 15 minutes long, and they're in the style of an episode.
They were a joy.
Yes, so they were a joy.
You wanted to go to the rap party for the
blooper reel. Yes, yeah. But yeah, Dean is the best of both worlds. Dean's awesome. Yeah.
Oh. Love Dean.
Yeah.
I hope
he listens to this.
Yeah. I ended up recurring on this show called Bless This Mess after Parks. And he directed a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, there's nothing more comforting when you're like, it's going to be a good week.
Dean. Yeah.
Well, let's jump back into our synopsis. We have so much. This story is full, and we still have more because, as expected, the world does not end.
Whoopsie. Who knew?
Entertainment 720's party is a huge success, and Tom's congratulated by Lucy the next morning. Leslie apologizes to Ben and lets him know that she is fine with him dating again. And Andy and April arrive at the Grand Canyon and are amazed, but Andy, as we talked about, realizes he was actually wanting to visit Mount Rushmore. Okay, so there's this very special moment, right, with Andy and April at the Grand Canyon.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's the most earnest I've ever seen the April character be and Andy. And then when they look at it, it's very emotional.
She can't even come up with something negative.
Yes.
She's like, I have nothing.
You know, I think it was one of their first times at the Grand Canyon, one of those, either Chris or Aubrey's first time seeing it. I recently went to for the first time too. And I've lived in LA my whole life, and I've only been an 8-hour drive from the Grand Canyon, and I'd never seen it. And it is one of those things that
it's wild.
No picture does this.
Or video.
Nothing.
I've never been.
Oh my God, Jim, you must. You must.
There's a reason it is on a lot of bucket lists.
Yeah.
Even before we called them bucket lists, because it is one of the great things one can see in their lifetime.
You know what blew my mind about being there? It's going to sound really stupid, but it's a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
It's not like...
No, it doesn't go up.
Yeah, you feel like you have to go up to then look at a canyon, but no, you're driving and then you park and then you look and then you walk and then you look and it's you're looking at the craziest thing you've ever seen that goes on for the most miles you've ever seen.
Yes.
And it's just a drop straight down and your brain cannot comprehend it. It's truly one of the most amazing things you'll ever see.
I will do it.
You really should.
No, I want to, not more than ever.
Well, what's wild, but I remember reading about it after going to see it. I wanted to read more about this place, and that there's this thing where some people have been compelled to throw themselves into the canyon. Like people
like vertigo?
No, people who are not suicidal.
Right, but isn't that... Is that the theme of vertigo? That's not what vertigo is, as far as I know, because I've had vertigo and it just makes me dizzy.
Me too.
But the movie vertigo is that you can't be near an open window.
People are like, I've been compelled by the canyon to kill myself, to jump into the canyon. And they know this because of the people who did it. But then at that last moment, they grabbed onto the ledge and someone saved them. They're like, I am not the person who's ever even thought about suicide. Wow. I've not contemplated. I've just felt like I was being pulled in. That is the power of this massive, beautiful hole in the ground.
Wow. I didn't feel that, Jim. Don't be scared.
No, okay. No,
you're still with us.
Yeah, I didn't feel
that. You didn't do it.
But you know what's funny is that you must have another plan when you get there, or like maybe do a tour or have another plan around there, because it is the kind of thing where you go and you're like, oh my God, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Let's get lunch somewhere. Yes. Like you're like, because once you see it, you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But
did
there
you
are
take
tours.
Down
no,
and
no.
Stuff or any
I would.
Of that
I
or?
Could. One
you,
could.
You yeah, can. No, you heard. Can do that. I did. I drove there like a day that I was in Vegas or something, and someone was like, "Let's stop at the Grand Canyon," and they said, "Yes." Yeah. So we literally only had half an hour to see it, which is the kind of thing you can do.
Yeah.
Well, not to have my own humble brag.
Oh boy.
But this trip on the show would inspire a series of digital shorts that aired on NBC.com. Just a nice book.
I remember this.
Of Andy and April's road trip, written by myself and fellow writer assistant David Phillips.
There you go.
And there were like 4 or 5 episodes, and it was just about the drive out there and different comedies.
I remember that.
And then it ended in this thing. So thank you to NBC.com.
And so you guys shot that separately or like?
That was, so we took a skeleton crew as like Dean and a few people and Chris and Aubrey drove out there and shot these things along the way. I think some whatever car company sponsored it, so we had to have certain things with the car.
Yeah, they actually did drive.
They actually
they didn't
did
fly to.
No, we drove out there.
I remember that now. Yeah,
not during this episode, but like after it.
No, for this episode.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. For the scene, they're like, well, why don't we do a digital short or a series of shorts along the way? So we shot these four or five things along the way to the Grand Canyon that Chris and Aubrey and team actually drove out there to shoot the specific scene that we're talking about.
Wow.
Well, one last thing to talk about in this episode, for me at least, which is the credit scene. It's a classic. It's her adjusting his end of the world prediction so he can go to a free ice cream event, as we talked about. But I want to bring it up because we can briefly see Leslie's monthly calendar on her computer in the scene. And she has a recurring event, Clean My Desk, scheduled for every other Sunday, which I love. So this was not written by an actor. This is not
this
a writer.
Props.
This is props being like, one would be funny. The fact that she comes in on Sundays to clean. I think it's just
doesn't
great.
Surprise it's me brilliant. At all. No. The one thing, though, I do want to get to because
I'm calling it Jim's crap. It's the crap we didn't get to, but we're going to call it Jim's crap.
I do have a crap list. But one thing I want to get to that because we didn't really wrap up the Leslie Ben situation.
Yeah. So sorry.
So another moment that kind of got me, and this was strictly because of Adam Scott's acting. So they're at the door. She's let it be known that she's trying to find out if Sean has slept over. You know, she wants to know whatever. But she says to him before that little bit, she says to him, it was only just now that I realized the romantic part of the relationship is over. And the look on Ben's face. Mm-hmm. Ooh, check that out, you guys. Mm. It's a moment. Mm-hmm. It's an actor moment that told his story of, wow, as much as he knew this was
her
the case.
Her saying it, yeah.
Her saying it out loud, even though she's pursuing him and trying to screw up his whatever potential love life. I don't know, that moment.
But they didn't actually go to the party, right?
No, neither one went to the party.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So either we don't know what happened or they didn't hang out at all.
That's a great point.
You mean with Shauna?
Yeah.
We didn't see her at the party either.
I don't think so, no.
No, that's something. Leslie and Ben don't go to the party. That is the storyline, one of the big storylines in the episode, right? They don't show up there? Am I afraid
of that? They do not
Ben
show
and
up.
Shauna either.
Ben and Shauna either, yeah. No, they don't. Yeah. It is sweet. You're right, Jim.
But you got to really check out that moment where it connects to him. This is over. And it's heartbreaking.
And then Leslie going like, you know, I'm sorry that I did all this. And please, you know, if she slept over, please give her my regards. And then just have this moment of like, that's what I was doing.
You're very clever.
Just checking.
Yeah. Well, now we should ask final thoughts on the episode. What are your final, what's the takeaway? What's one last thing?
Final thoughts on the episode. Yeah. I mean, I just love it. I listen, as a viewer, I hope Lucy comes back. She's one of my favorite characters. I feel like
us too.
I feel like there's a lot more to see there.
It would be nice to see her. It would be nice to see her again.
It's an unanswered question.
I
hope so. Fingers crossed.
Might have maybe it's gonna be Shauna for a little bit again. Who knows?
She likes any employees.
As we know, Shauna gets around. I mean, my final thoughts are just that this is not only this podcast, but this show is one of the great joys of my life. And I really
and now the podcast.
Now the podcast. I'm so happy
Thank
to.
You. Oh my God.
Yay.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Oh,
Who's our MVP? Who's our episode MVP? Who's our most valuable pun in the end of this one?
Listen, I'm going to say Jerry. I thought, I really am. I just like
to. I love this woman.
I like that he's always game for Andy and April's weird stuff. And he's like, I got to go home. Gail's making dinner. Can we be done playing your thing? But he's there and he's doing it. And he's doing his stunts. Oh. Full on Jerry doing the stunts. I think it's Jerry.
Wow.
Well, that changed my answer.
Yeah.
What was there going to be?
Well,
Jerry?
It doesn't matter. It's Jerry now.
Yeah. I'll go with Zorp then, just to screw with you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Yes.
What a joy to have you.
Thank you.
Like amazing.
Thank you. It was amazing. A joy to be here.
We should mention, we need to mention because it's very important. You can see Natalie in the new Sony comedy, No Hard Feelings.
Yes.
It says starring Jennifer Lawrence, also starring Natalie Morales.
Yes.
In theaters, June 23rd, 2023.
It's true. The trailer's out now.
Yes.
Which is Parks related because Chris Pratt has done a movie with Jennifer Lawrence. So it's all connected, people. It's all connected.
It's like it's like a new, you know, what,
I mean,
six
it's Park related because I'm in it.
That's what
it's all Parks. Yes, like the whole thing is Parks. Yes.
Thank you, Natalie, for being here
with
us.
Thank you
for having me. What a treat. Oh, my God.
This time flew by. Like, yes. I feel like this has been 10 minutes. And you're probably thinking, get me the hell out of here.
Thank you all for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Text this episode to your group chat. Start a group chat if you don't have a group chat. Make friends if you don't have any. I'm worried about you. 5-star review wherever you're listening.
Even if you hate it.
Thank you to our engineer, Joe, to producer, Sean.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Sean.
Jim, always a treat to be here with
you. I know it is for you.
Goodbye from Pawnee.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.